and welcome to the Blue Team Podcast, your weekly unofficial podcast dedicated to all things Peterhead FC. This week we continue our Blue Toon Legends series as we have part two of our interview with former player and co-manager Paul Mathers. In this part, Paul talks about how he and Ian Stewart got the job, promotion and the controversial end to their time at Balmoor. First, I asked him about the start of Ian Wilson's final season and what went wrong.
Well, we didn't start the next season quite as well, you know. And that's something you look back on. Football clubs now, you know, your plan is important. And that was the thing me and he always said, was get your players in quickly and be ahead of the game. And I think when I look back to the season we lost to Morton, we didn't have players in for the first few weeks. And I think that, you know, the following season, you could tell there was a different atmosphere in the dressing room as such. And there was a few signings that came in and they didn't really, you know, get up to speed quick enough or integrate into the team. And that's how sometimes it's, signings are so important. Recruitment is the most important part for any manager. So, you know, that was early on in the season. And I think by the time Ian left, was it December? November, December. You know, you knew at that time that there was something missing. You know, which was unfortunate because I say again, Ian was great. You know, he really was. The way he conducted himself, the way he spoke to you, you know, he was a good guy, Ian, and Lenny as well. And unfortunately, Ian, Lenny, and Kenny, you know, lost their job. But I mean, I still speak to Kenny to this day, and I've spoken to Ian a few times. And there's been a couple of nice touches from Ian when I lost the job, Peterhead, he phoned me. And he phoned me another time. I'm trying to think when he phoned in, but he was a nice guy, and it was unfortunate because we'd been so close the year before, and there was just something that wasn't right that season. And when he lost his job, you know, it was just disappointment because of him losing his job, and then all of a sudden a phone call one Sunday and things just changed dramatically. How it happened, he left as Davy Watson, not a Roger Morrison, a Roger Taylor.
The next question was going to be how and when did Ian get appointed, and then how did you become assistant?
Yeah, well, I mean, I just remember me and Ian were close, you know, because we knew each other at Dundee, and then we started playing together again, and we, you know, we built up a relationship, and we spoke obviously a lot. Enjoyed playing together. It would never even mentioned anything about, you know, after playing, because I was still playing and I was still enjoying playing, and I was coaching at Dundee, so there was nothing. That's when the first administration came at Dundee, and I lost my job in November, but everything was fine still in terms of playing for Peterhead, and I was just kind of taking time out to see where it would go. And it was Davy Watson that actually phoned. We didn't apply. We didn't even talk about it before. And it was Davy Watson that approached me on a Sunday afternoon. Says, "How would you know, had the conversation, you know, the pleasantries with Ian and Lenny, etc." And he says, "We're kind of thinking we'd maybe like to go this direction. What do you think?" And it was one of them. Never discussed it. Never even. So David put it to me, and then he put it to Ian, Ian and then to me. And me and Ian had a chat about it, and when we met up the following day, and then David took the team the following week against Montrose, and at that time me and Ian were kind of discussing all things, how we've seen it going, how it would work, etc. And we came to kind of a conclusion that we were thinking pretty much the same in terms of how we could see improvement in things and how we'd go about it. So we went up and had a chat with the board, the two Rogers, and there's another two there. I'm trying to think who they are. I can see one of them, but I can't get a name to them. Which is an informal chat, basically. And they decided to keep it quiet, except there was some names going about, and they were quite happy for the press to go down that way. And then me and Ian, and I don't know, me and Ian, they kind of agreed to do it. We agreed to do it, and this is where, I don't know if it's been known, we went as co-managers. So we were actually co-managers, but we realised that somebody had to do this. And so the titles were we agreed to do it together, me and Ian, you know, 50-50. So Ian was, Ian, to this day, he preferred doing the boardroom stuff, dealing with Roger and the chairman and et cetera, and all the media and everything. And so we kind of broke it down into Ian would deal in terms of the media and the boardroom and all the stuff, the arrangements, et cetera. And we would share training, et cetera, and how we would share ideas of there. And I kind of took on the recruitment role and scouting role, et cetera. And we'd come together, and that's basically how it started and how it worked. And we got it in January, and we were fourth then. And we knew we basically had to win every game for then to end the season to basically have any chance of getting up. We didn't do it. We got off to a great start. East Stirling, I think, was the first game, 6-0. We went attacking, you know, the usual, we'll show them we can do this. Went with a back three, and we went all for it. You know, it sounded great, 6-0, East Stirling were the team at the bottom of the table that time. It had been for a few years, but, you know, we couldn't have got off to a better start, and we did quite well till the end of the season. And, you know, I think it was a result at Hampden against Queen's Park cost us, and, you know, it was always going to be a big ask, as I say. So that was it. We decided, right, the next season, let's go. And what we spoke about, we identified the players we wanted, and we got in early, and Montrose obviously took a hit from us.
if it hadn't been Ian that was the manager, or somebody else had approached you, would you have done it?
As a man?
As an assistant, or taking on that kind of role?
It's a hard one, that. I mean, you're just trying to think who else would, you know. It was Ian. Probably wouldn't have, because, you know, I've had the chance to go back and assist the manager since then, and, you know, I've not done it. And as we'll go into, when we left Peterhead, you know, the things happened then. But, no, I probably wouldn't have when you asked that question. I never thought before, but I probably wouldn't have, because, you know, we'd known each other for a long time, even though, you know, we had the gaps there, but we had grown up from 14 to about 18 together, kept in touch here and there. I was close to going and signing for Cali when he was there, but it didn't pan out. So, and then as soon as we come back to Peterhead, we just kind of carried on where we left off. We probably thought we were 18 still, but no, I probably wouldn't have done that. It's a good question, that.
Was accepting a job made easier by the fact that it was Ian that was there?
Yeah, because, you know, I don't know if you know Ian, but he drove me mad some of the times. He's so meticulous, you know. Every fine detail, you know, when you think back to the amount of times we spent on the phone because he was, you know, he didn't want anything left. I was something, I'd go, well, we'll deal with that when I see you. Think, no, I need to know. And it needs to be this. And he was so organised and meticulous that I was quite happy sometimes just to, but, you know, that's probably why he got the role of dealing with this and dealing with that and dealing with the players organising, etc. So it was good to work with him, you know. It was really enjoyable in terms of working, getting experience, which again, you know, which I spoke about. We got the job in January, but I think by, I would say probably April, we had all the players targeted we wanted to sign. And, you know, with Scott Mickey and Graham Sharp at my house in Dundee when they were still playing for Montrose, done. The David Hagan story, which, you know, was a great story. We're looking for this wide player, and I remember watching Clyde and Hagee's playing, and I'd obviously played with Hagee at Falkirk, so it's like, how are we going to get in touch with Hagee? And then all of a sudden it comes through, I'm going to Kevin McAllister's wedding. I wonder if Hagee will be there. So me and my wife are invited down at night time for Crunchy's wedding, and we're driving down, and you can see, and my wife's looking at me going, why are we going down here? And I'm going, oh, Crunchy, great lad, you know, which he was, you know. But in the back of my mind, my Peterhead's going, that's going, Hagee might be there. I wonder if any of the rest of the boys will be there. I wonder what they're up to. So we go down, do the pleasantries, and we must have been sitting down about 45 minutes, an hour, had a couple of beers. And the wife's on the phone, Nikki's on the phone, she gives me that look, she goes, Lucy's just been sick, we need to go home. I'm like, oh, you're joking. No, we need to go. I goes, well, you need to give me 5-10 minutes, I've not spoken to Hagee yet. So straight away, got up, walked straight across. Hey, how you doing? Blah, blah, blah. What a drink? Yeah, got him a drink. What are you up to? Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right. You leaving Clyde? Yeah, leaving Clyde. You fancy Peterhead? Give us your number. Blah, blah, blah. As soon as you give me a number, bang, back across. Right, let's go. Drove up the road because obviously Lucy was being sick. Next thing, spoke about it, yep. And I think as much as, and then we also went back, got Hagee signed up. And I mean, Hagee was, he was a great lad. And he underachieved Hagee. And it's funny to say that because he played in a Champions League semi final against Marseille for Rangers. But the ability he had for both feet, he was so powerful and fast when he was in tip top condition that he should never have been playing for, but to be fair, Jamie Buchan should never have played for Peterhead either, the ability he had. But Hagee was, and he was instrumental that first year. We worked out, because his deliveries, he could take him his right foot and his left foot, and I think he was worth about 14 to 18 points for us because of the set plays we worked so hard on, because he could just put the ball in a pinpoint, and we just worked out where Fred, Tully and Robbie had to run to. Well, Robbie would jog to it, but Tully would sprint. And, and the amount of games that we won by a set play when the games were tight, and it was down to Hagee, and he was, you know, he was so fun and a lovable character. He really was. And you know, that game at Ibrox in the last season, you know, in the Scottish Cup, when he came back, and usual Hagee, it was like, Jesus, he's put a bit of stone on. And you're going up to Hagee, Hagee, you need to lose weight. Hi, yeah, yeah, yeah. He just laughed about everything, Hagee, and we were going, we can't play him wide left anymore. So we put him back to left back, and he cruised the game at Ibrox at left back, you know, and that was him. He was just so lovable and likeable and funny. But, you know, he was a great character. And, you know, I remember a time we went down to Crunchy again for a reunion with Falkirk boys, and he wouldn't come in that night because he was driving his taxi and he was driving with the boys everywhere, but he wouldn't come in and relax. But it was just Hagee, you know, he was just, he was a great character. So really sad, but he was a great player, you know, in terms of that. So to say that was the recruitment was pretty meticulous. Scott Mickey, Graham Sharp, stolen from Montrose. Obviously David Hagan, Craig Tully from Elgin, he was done pretty early as well. And that was, we basically got all our targets, you know, pretty sharp and ready to go. And we couldn't wait for the season to start.
How was you juggling that kind of responsibilities plus still playing? How did you find that?
I loved it. Because, you know, maybe because I was a goalkeeper. But it was good to be involved and learn the other side of, you know, organising and the training, etc. And setting a team up. And with, you know, we'd set up a team with good players at that time. We'd also utilised the Dundee connection as well with Dougie Cameron, Keith Gibson, Chris Hegarty, Bobby Lynn. You know, we got Martin Wood from Montrose as well. It was a good team. It was a really good team at that time. And with you see, look back now and some of the things, I never remember the first night of pre-season. Me and Ian are talking there, right, what were we going to say to them? And we just come away going, well, what we're going to say to them is that we're going to win the league. And that's it. Nothing else is acceptable. And he's like, really? I go, yeah, that's what we'll say. So first night of pre-season, it was, right, we're winning the league this year, and that's it. Nothing else, we're winning the league. And we just kind of set off on that and never, you know, went anywhere else and never let them off with anything else. That was a target and that was it. So it seemed to work. But we had good, we were, people talk about management and, you know, processes and everything, but we were fortunate at that time. Ian had left good players. You know, we still had Robbie, we still had Fred there, with Ian Good there, Martin Bavage there. It was good players, and we just added through, fortunate that we could pinch four really good young boys, five really good young boys for Dundee, you know, because they were probably good enough to play in a lot of teams, but because of the way Dundee was set up, they weren't getting an opportunity, so it was a no-brainer. And then we ended up using Scott Robertson, etc. as well, and a few other boys, you know, Craig Campbell came in to beef up the squad, and Alan Youngson, I mean, Alan was through Dundee again, but the ability Alfie had was incredible. You know, just when you speak about Jamie Buchan as well, and the ability they had with Hagee was should never have been playing at the, you know, the level we were at that point. But that was obviously us thinking we could maybe go on and on.
Did it take much convincing to get these players in?
No, Jamie was probably the, with the convinced Jamie the most, you know. Craig Tully was easy, he'd been at Elgin. Elgin, you know, was stirring up things. They hadn't really made the cut of it in League 2 or League 3 at that time. Peterhead were challenging, Elgin were at the bottom half, and Tully was our best player by far, and he'd been there, and he'd captain, and he wanted basically, you know, we did pay him more money, but I wouldn't say we paid him, you know, that much money. He would be going, I need to go there, you know. We did pay him more. But he just wanted to be in a team, I think, that was going to go and try and do something. And that's going back to what I said at the beginning, that we felt so Peterhead could progress and be a progressive club because of the, you know, what they had there in terms of the stadium, people that ran the club, finances play a part as well.
And if it hadn't been for Gretna and their money, you probably would have won a league.
Yeah, well, in our minds we do. You know, it was crazy when you look back that we were competing with Gretna. You know, and I think it was in January, I think we worked out with 18 players, and one of them was a young boy, Cammy Bowden, who was never going to play. And we'd one other young boy. And so we were basically using 16 players for the whole. And we were neck and neck with Gretna in January, and we were due to play him. I don't know if you remember this game. We were due to play him on the Saturday in January, and they were flying it to Marbella that Saturday night. And then the Friday they signed Chris Innes from Dundee United, Stephen Tosh from, was it Aberdeen or was it a move before then, and Alan Main from Livingston. That was the three signings before on the Friday night. And we beat them 4-2 at Balmoor on the Saturday night. And I'm not sure, I think it was your fans that had all the sombreros on and everything. And we went top of the table then. And unfortunately, by the next time the fixtures come round in March, we went down to Gretna. And, you know, as I said, we'd worked the players really hard in a small group of players. And you've got to remember the part-time players as well. And we were down to Gretna, and I think we got beat 6-1 or 6-2 that day. And that was the day they won the league, unfortunately, which wasn't great. That was a bad day. And they were getting crowds at that time. They were having the party atmosphere, so they were really messing it, or putting it in our faces as such. And I think we threw the dummy at the pram that night, me and Shuri, because it obviously Gretna to Peterhead's a hell of a bus journey. Yeah. And I think it's the only time we said to him, get that feckin' beer back down underneath. Because when we come in, the beer was up, and we kind of get that back down under the fucking bus. And then we stopped about an hour and a half up the road and I'd get it on. But that was part, I think, the success, you know, the journeys for the boys, you know, dropping off at Dundee, dropping off at Aberdeen. And, you know, there was a real great team spirit, but the bus journeys definitely helped, that's for sure. Fish supper and a few cases of beer.
Apart from they winning the league, you got promoted. Did you always feel as though you were going to get promoted?
Yeah, we did. I think we were I should have looked up, but I think we were over 20 points ahead of Cowdenbeath, were we not?
I think it was about 24, 25, something like that.
So, you know, that's why I think, you know, I'm still thinking in my mind without the medal, we really won that, because Gretna did. It, you know, it is a sore point, because Gretna's obviously been and gone. It'd be different if we're still here, but the fact that they've, you know, they robbed us of a championship medal that year, and then the following year they won the championship again when we were, you know, obviously involved in the playoffs. But we just couldn't compete with our resources. You know, our resources were good for part time, don't get me wrong, but competing with them, we were totally no chance when they were full time. And as I said, signing three players for the Premier League in a January transfer window was, you know, we were never competing with that, unfortunately.
I just show you the golf and class, the fact that they were able to sign them three players in January, as you said.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the thing. I would still say, you know, that was the thing in March. We were so shocked because we were so bad that day at Raydale Park, whatever it was called. But we had just squeezed everything out of the players. You know, we really had. And they were fresh as a daisy. And it was disappointing, but in a one-off game, I was still like, backed us to beat them because, you know, I can't speak highly enough of the players we had at that time. It was a really good team and really enjoyable, and, you know, don't have to go through the names again, but there was, you know, Matt Berry was just incredible. That, and Jamie, Keith Gibson had obviously, Bobby Lynn was flying, Martin Wood, you know, we kind of came across a system a lot of teams play now. We kind of stumbled across it. We'd play with Woody in the hole, and Lenny would sometimes be a false striker because he'd like to go and drift into the left, and teams couldn't handle Woody in the hole and Lenny just, you know, being on the left hand side, and we were ahead of our time at that time.
Pioneers.
Yes. 4-2-3-1 or 4-4-1-1, whatever you call it. False strikers.
When you go into the following season then, again, what was your expectation? Did you go in thinking that you had a chance?
We did. Well, the expectations were that we were quite confident, but after getting beaten by 4-0 by Alloa in the first game of the season, we kind of got a real awakening at that point.
Yeah.
But, nah, because we were young and naive and confident, and things were, you know, like you say, things were just, we were enjoying it that much, me and Ian, that we didn't think it was easy, but we were kind of enjoying it, and because it was going so well, you know. The club was going well, trying to get things in place, etc. And you were thinking, this could maybe just take off. You know, discussions were going behind the scenes, etc. And once we got after the Alloa defeat, we kind of got going, and probably the thing that took it to the next level was that day at East Fife, when we beat East Fife in the cup. And then you're in that dressing room, and Bill, the old kitman, comes in and tells us to draw for the Scottish Cup. And it's, you know, at that point, the place went crazy, absolutely crazy. And then I went to sign it again. We stopped in past Cooper and at Tesco's, and I've never seen a trolley full of beer so much. Probably, well, the other teams will beat that. But, and it was just such a celebration that, you know, we'd always said that that was one of the things we'd said to Roger at the club about they'd never been so far in a cup. And we've kind of joked with him since then. He says, well, you kind of draw a big team if you know in the third round of the Scottish Cup, Roger, or the fourth round now. So we'd managed to do it, and we've managed to draw the big team as such. And the Rangers game kind of lifted our season to a different level. It really did, before the Rangers game. And we just carried on right through. And we just about, I would say, just about completed something that would have been amazing in terms of if we'd managed to see it through with Partick, Gretna and Morton, three full-time teams in the league.
Was playing Rangers different for you this time round? Is that like playing as a part-time, or was it the same as you played them before?
It was different. It was different. The build-up was different because you're also involved in, I mean, as much as Ian took care of a lot of the organising, the Rangers thing was really massive for the club. And we had organising in terms of, do we take the players down the Friday night? That was a mate. No, leave them in their own beds. So we decided to keep the players at home on the Friday night, but we're going to stay in Glasgow on the Saturday night, which is a theme, I think, for this team, because we did like to enjoy ourselves. So then the club weren't happy with that, because all the directors and all the people at the club, they wanted a night in Glasgow before the game, not after it. Uh-huh. They were the opposite. So it was decided they would go down the Friday night, all the board and wives, etc. So they had a good night on the Friday night. We did it opposite. We went down on the Saturday and stayed the Saturday night. They ended up staying the Saturday as well, so they got two nights. And then it was, you know, different organising for me. My family were coming, a young family at that time, so, you know, it was great to be back at Ibrox in that sense and going back to the game. And then you actually come away with a plan of how you were going to play the game, because you know, they'd just signed Chris Boyd for over £1 million. He was making his debut. And we were trying to set a plan how to, without being damn limitation here because of the golf and the differences, which probably at that point, looking back, we were quite naive because we did go in negative, me and Ian. You know, we did fear the worst. Whether we got it wrong with the players, I don't know, but we kind of set off and we set the plan. I remember speaking to Ibrox, talking to me about the formation and what we're going to do, etc. And it was right, we're going to go 4-4-2. But then it was very brief in the 4-4-2, you know, the personnel. And it was, if things aren't going well, Lenny, you're coming back in, it's 4-5-1. So if I give you the title, it's 4-5-1 and that's it. And it was like, Hagee, don't you move. Fred, don't you move for right back. And Jamie, don't you go wandering anywhere. And it was all just, and it was, Woody, unfortunately, you'll be the lone striker. You'll just need to run about as much as you can and just deal with it, but get us up the pitch. And so that was the tactics before the game. And I remember, I'd never thought about it before then, and to be fair, I didn't really think about it at the point, but I remember a shot going past the post, and it flew past the post, and I remember looking up the clock, and it was still zero. Oh, no. So, we did well the first half. I mean, they scored in 44 minutes, I think it was, and I still swear to this day, I watched it about 6 months ago, that it was a free kick, and a push for the big, was it Kyrgios or something, or the big centre-half with the long hair at the Rangers. And I still swear there was a push when you see if they're behind the goal. So we was in at 1-0 and we're quite happy with that. Stuart took care of most of things at half-time, and he'd Sean to help him on the bench with Andy Gibson. And he'd always ask me and sometimes we disagreed, me, Ian and Sean and Gibby, because they're on the sidelines and they would sometimes see it one way. And I'd be going, no, we're fine. It's no problem on the pitch. And that was the player against the people on the side, which now we're on the side of the pitch and see things totally different. Mm-hmm. But the amount of times I sometimes thought we were quite fine and comfortable on the pitch, but I'm not saying we were that day, but then come out the second half and before you know it, it's 5-0 and it's 65 minutes. And that's when you talk about the different mentality. And I'm now going, this is Rangers against a part-time team, and it's 5-0 and it's 65 minutes, and you're going, oh no, that's me being negative again. But to be fair, I had that feeling with Dundee a few times, because at that time when you're playing the Rangers teams, when I played, you're Loudrop, Gascoigne, McCoist, Hatley, and you'd always watch that clock as a goal, or I did anyway. Sometimes you're looking at going 15 minutes 0-0, that's great, 30 minutes 0-0. But sometimes by the time you got to 45 minutes, it was 3-0 and you're going, oh no. That was what happened at Ibrox. As soon as you lost the first one, something just went bang, bang, bang. And you never wanted to be in the end of a 6 or a 7. And when you scored the fifth one, I can't say I looked at it, I thought, oh no. But fortunately, it's 5-0. But in terms of at that point, it's probably closer now. But at that time, I think there was a bigger gulf. And that's with us. We are a really good team. That it was a great day for the club. 3,000 Peterhead fans down. It was a great occasion. Financially, it was great. And we went back to the Hilton 5-star in Glasgow, and it was a great night. But the form leading up to that game was incredible. And the game after, you're always thinking for the come down. But the boys, they were so confident. They played the game, and we just went on a run. I think it was incredible. I remember myself playing, and I was playing well, making saves. A couple of saves against Dumbarton the day after, the week after the Rangers game, and you were just living on confidence and adrenaline week in, week out, and we just snowballed, up the league, and it ended up in the playoffs. But the cup game is a massive part of that, I think.
Yeah, going into the playoffs, then you beat Morton 1-0 in the first round.
The negative team top down there as well.
That's what I said, because they were, I think they finished second, did they?
Yes, they finished second, but we'd done well against them throughout the whole season. But because of the playoffs, it was new to us. It was the first season, wasn't it? And because it's two legs, and it was like, all we spoke, it was 0-0. And then it was like, right, if we go 1-0 down, don't panic. We don't lose another one, because we stay in this game and we're getting back up to Balmour. It was all about getting them back to Balmour. And we had Lenny running about daft and Woody in the hole and two banks of four. And we really did. We were comfortable that night to get a 0-0. And the boys earned their fish and chips for the end of the road to go back up the road. But you're going there going, Wednesday night, we're playing against Saturday, but I guess a full-time team, but we were comfortable 0-0, I thought, that night, as much as we were. And that's what we went for, basically, to stay in the game. So, and when we got back to the Balmoor, we had the hoodoo over Morton that year. You know, I spoke to Jim Matney a few times about it, and you know, we had the hoodoo over him, and they couldn't compete with Woody in the hole and Linney, etc. So, and we finished the job up at Balmoor, which was one of the good days because the stands were up and it was a good crowd. You know, it was a great atmosphere again, and we played well and won.
You also had a good record against Partick Thistle as well before the final. What was your expectations going into that one?
Probably more than what we did when we went to Morton, to be honest, because as you say, we'd done well against Partick, and the game at Fir Hill went as we saw it. We played. It was a boy, Adam Strachan, who was thought was a good player for Partick, and we played two fullbacks to stop them in the left, and we played Alan Youngson in the left hand side because Alfie, his work rate was always questioned. He probably was the most debated player between the coaching team at that time, Alan Youngson. I liked him because he was a lefty and he was cultured, and I knew him, but he did cause a lot of debates, etc. And he did get subbed a lot, you know, but he had quality, Alfie. So we decided to play him, and it couldn't have went any better at Fir Hill, to be honest. The only thing we could change is we were 2-1 up and Linney was through in the goalkeeper, and you would have put your bet, you would have banked your mortgage on him scoring and going 3-1 up. And that's probably the only thing we would have changed. We expected more. We thought Partick in the playoffs would be a full house, etc. But we're surprised at the lack of crowd in there. But no, we played really well and everything went to plan. And that was the one late on. Linney went through, and if he'd went to 3-1, I think it, unfortunately, you know, there wouldn't have been a way back for them. And we got him back up, and it was a full house at Balmoor again, and it was a great, great occasion. I wouldn't say it's a great day, but it was a great occasion.
it was great to have such a big crowd, first of all. But then, I think Bav scores to go 3-1 up on aggregate.
Yeah,
I think majority of folk in the stadium probably thought that was it.
And that's where I go back to. We kind of, it would have been 3-1 and then Bavi went to 4-1, I think it would have done, but we lost a goal so quickly after going 3-1 up. Mm-hmm. It kind of just, but we had chances, we were still dominant, we were still the better team in that game, I would have said, and we couldn't get that elusive goal. I think Bavi hit the post, and I threw in a 1-1 at the outside of the post, and it was one of them, and we thought we were going to do it, and I'll never, you see, it was a good occasion for the club in terms of the fans and the national media and the radio was up, etc. So it was a big day for Peterhead. Mm-hmm. And I'll never forget, it was 90 minutes and I had a goal kick going up the hill and I smashed it and it went into the faraway corner. And I thought, I'm not going to see that again. That's it. Unfortunately, the ball came down and Alan Freeman, to this day, an Aberdeen referee, gave a free kick that I've watched it back again just recently. I don't know, I watched it before, but I didn't realise how soft it was until I've watched it back. And the rest is just unlucky, to be fair.
Do you look at that free kick and would you have lined it up any different? Would you have done anything different? Or was it just one of those things that, if he hits it another 99 times, it probably balloons over or goes wider?
It was one of them where I felt it was a distance, and I remember looking back now as a goalie coach, I wouldn't allow it. I had four in the wall and I had Dougie Cameron charging it. Dougie may have been in a slightly better position, but it was one of them where I'm going, right, I always felt it was just going to blast it, and I'm going, right, he's just going to come my side of the wall. And I don't know, when I watched it back just 6 months ago in lockdown, etc., I didn't realise how wide it was going. Was probably the first thing that happened when I watched it back. I thought it was coming through to me, and then Dougie's deflected and it was in back that side. And I didn't realise it was actually going about a yard and a half, 2 yards past the post. And hitting Dougie and coming back so quickly and so far the other way just, makes it even worse. But having said that, as a goalie coach now, I'd look at the goalie's position at that point. But at that point, you weren't thinking, it was just one of those things I thought we were going to get through, and it would have been unbelievable. But and you look back, and you look back now with experience, and you know the penalty kicks. Everybody says about things. Did we prepare for them? No, really. You know, we took some, and we were up in Peterhead on a Saturday training afternoon, and we stayed up in Peterhead on a Saturday night. You know, trying to be professional and as you can. And we maybe took a few penalties at the end of training, but we never really sat down thinking, right, who's going to take these penalties? Which you look back now and go, we probably should have done that a wee bit more, because it was after the game and the usual shout, right, who's taking them? And it was like, well, I'm taking one. Right, fine. And looking back now, and it is hindsight, and Keith Gibson and Dougie obviously decided to take one. You're looking back now that we should have went for more experience and probably, but they were wanting to take him, so you're going, that's a good thing.
I was going to say, because they volunteered, so, you know, yeah. You could say, well, okay, it's good for them that they've volunteered.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You said, no, it was somebody else.
I can remember cursing. I only cursed just briefly in it, because I do remember saying to them, put your foot through it and just hit the target, and that's all you could ask. You know, if you put it through with pace and hit the target, you couldn't ask for any more. And Gibby's rolled past the post slowly to the keeper's right. Dougie's one I can't remember, but that was the only thing. And you know, looking back, and that's been really hard on Gibby, to be fair, because and you know, I can probably say that because I smashed mine into the top corner for my third penalty for Peterhead, the third penalty I scored. But having said that, you know, I think I saved one. But when you look back at the Paul Ritchie one, I kind of cringe about how early I moved again, you know. But it's different now. But that was, you know, got beaten in a semi-final of Scottish Cup and everything. But that was, the Morton game didn't even pale in significance compared to the disappointment of losing that one to Partick and Morton, because we'd been on such a good run for such a long time that you just felt we were going to get to the Championship. And you know, looking, I know it's not been done, but it would have been incredible for the club, and you just never know what might have happened or where it would have taken.
Literally 30 seconds away from it.
Yep. And I still go back, Alan Freeman from Aberdeen. You know. But
what was the atmosphere in the dressing room after?
The one at East Stirling was poor, and we drew one each to East Stirling, and the one at Morton was devastating. And to be personally, because I was obviously not a player then, I was like the co-manager, you had to put a braver face on what you actually thought. You know, the one at Morton, you just worried about yourself. And I always remember at Morton, the Douglas Ray, the Morton chairman, decided to come in and try and conduct. He was saying, oh, unlucky, unlucky. And he must have got two steps in the door and said, unlucky to me. I had my head in a towel. I think he'd said it to the second person who was, it wasn't Martin Cannon, I don't think. Anyway, he said it to Bert, and I think about 20 people went, fuck off and get out. So when I signed for Morton after the left beer head, unfortunately, I didn't remember, but my head was under a towel when I said it to him. But it was, you know, the other one at Peterhead was, because you were kind of management or etc., you had to put on a braver face. But yeah, I couldn't even, you know, going back down the road, I couldn't even tell you, you know, anything about it. It was just you were just stunned as such, because we were so close to the Championship, you know.
Did that make it more difficult to start preparing for the next season?
I can't remember it being any more difficult, because we had the majority of the same team. The biggest problem was trying to, how do you get that team better, was the biggest challenge for the following year. You know, the players, you know, I think, was it that year, or was it, no, it was leading up to that year, we obviously had to let Robbie go, which was a hard one, you know, because he'd done so well for us, and he was a captain, etc., and Robbie still thought he could play, and that was hard for myself, and, you know, the decision had been made, and it was really hard, because obviously I had a personal relationship with Robbie, but fortunately we still do have. But that was the biggest problem the following year, I can only remember, is because you've got to remember, we financially had been great for the club, you know, Rangers, and then the crowds for the playoff games, etc., blah, blah. And then start of the following season, we got Hibs in the League Cup, I think it was. And so the club was in such a it was still on such a high, I would say, and it was more the excitement expected of, we'll do this again, which, you know, that was maybe coming, we didn't realise that until probably September, October, or maybe even after October when we'd left the club. The expectation was extremely high above us in the dressing room. It was probably just at the last minute we realised the expectation. But no, the biggest problem was, how do you improve that team? Because it was, and I keep saying it, it was a really good team for me. It was a great team. Maybe I'm clouded because I enjoyed it so much, but that was great players and great characters. And it was how that was causing us the biggest problem, was how to improve it. And I think we brought in Brian Gilfillan for money. And to be fair, he was only maybe 3-4 weeks before we left the club. But I can't really remember, you know, any difficulties. Just, you look back now, and I was still quite young, so you say I was enjoying it. We were young, we were new to it still, and we were kind of expecting us to carry on. We'd been like that since we took over. It was just progression.
We've got to kind of come to the inevitable end, unfortunately, but results didn't go your way, I guess. But it was a shock to us when you was left. I guess it was a shock to you. Did you get any kind of inclination that it was coming?
No, we didn't really, because we were still carrying on as normal. We're doing a lot of the one thing me and Ian always did was, we always try to do a lot behind the scenes, whether it was in a social club or in the community or with the schools, etc. We were doing a lot of work commercially then as well, trying to get, you know, sponsorship in, etc. We were up at Peterhead probably twice a week, out with match days, if you know what I mean, trying to get the community involved in the club, etc. And we enjoyed that. And we didn't really see anything coming. There was one time, I don't know what it was, it was one time we took a heavy defeat to Morton. We got that one wrong that day. We played Morton, and we probably overthought it. I remember when we come away with tactics, and it's one of them when you're in the goal and it didn't work. We decided to do something with Jamie Stevenson, it didn't work, and I think we're 4-0 down at half time, and you're going, oh shit, this really hasn't worked. And I don't know what it was, but me and Ian both said, we just felt something, and we kind of said to the players, and I have to say this, I can't remember if it was words exchanged or voices raised during the 2.5 years we were in charge. I would have to say it was very, very minimal, because that's not the way we went about things. But when you're 4-0 down at Morton at half time and you're getting an absolute doing, both of us did say that time, and why we said it, we didn't know, but we both said, it's decision time for you boys now. Says, if you want to see the effing door, then just carry on the way you are in the first half and we'll be gone. But if you want us to stay, then you're basically, we're going to have to go out there and play. And we ended up 4-0, and we kind of thought it. And it wasn't until after a game, Fred pulled me and Stuart in, and he says, what was all that about half-time? And we were saying, well, we just kind of got a feeling that we had to say something. He says, but he's under pressure. And we went, no, I don't think so. He said, that just seems as if you were under pressure the way you said that. And we were like, nah. But we just kind of used, I don't know, it was just one of them things that we'd come away with and we were going to use. And lo and behold, we played a few more games after that, and we actually picked up, we beat Cowdenbeath and we drew with Alloa. So we kind of thought, we weren't now, I think we were sixth or seventh when we got.
Something like that, yeah.
We'd just been Cowdenbeath the day before, we're not 1-0 or something. But you'll maybe know more than me, but it when Stewie phoned me that Sunday afternoon, nothing had ever, you know, crossed my mind or anything in terms of. It's funny when you speak to people afterwards, and I spoke to Jim McAnally and other people, and they'd obviously knew things coming down from the boardroom, you know, to Morton's directors, to etc. But that's football. That's what happens. But when Stewie phoned, and he just phoned about a rumour on social media. I think it was one of the forums. And I just kind of dismissed it, going, "Ah, don't be silly. You know, it's on the forum. So what? But Stewie, as I say, he was a meticulous little bugger, and he couldn't let it lie. And he went and chased it, with Roger, and then the next minute he's phoning back and he's going, I'm gone. And they're going, hey, you're joking. I says, don't be so silly. Goes, no, I'm gone, he says. I'm away. And then it kind of, you know, it's tricky conversations then in terms of that. And then Dave Watson phoned me later on. The conversation was fine. And I just remember saying, what's going on here, Davey? And he explained a few things. And he says, oh, Roger's going to phone me. He's in Spain. And sure enough, I spoke to Roger that night. And we kind of had a conversation. At that point, you know, I kind of said, well, the Fiend's gone, and, you know, I'm going as well. And he'd asked me to sleep on it. And I says, fine. I says, but my feeling is I start with you and I'll finish with you, and if that's okay, if you're going to allow that. So he'd fair his word. Next morning, he phoned back 8 o'clock in the morning, and we had the conversation. I've no changed my mind, you know. Fiend's gone, then we did it together. You know, and that's when I go back to the very beginning. We did it just 50-50. I say, so if Ian's gone, then I'd like to go as well. Went downstairs and I told Nikki, and her words were, what are you doing that for? And it was kind of because that's what I am, you know, that was what I believed in, and that's what I still don't regret it to this day, you know, that I left with Ian. I speak to Roger, I've got no disappointment about it at all, you know. I always expected to get the sack. I always thought that, but I thought when the results were really poor, I didn't see him as being poor at that time. That's the only thing I would say. You know, we always said we'd get the sack, but we thought it'd be when the team were doing well. But it was really enjoyable. So, and I learned so much in terms of playing again, but also learning how to put teams out, recruitment, run a football club, etc. You learn so much, especially at Peterhead, because you were doing everything and you could get to know everything. So. That was it, you know. The club was fixed for contracts and we were gone, and you know, that was probably it was sad saying cheerio to the players, but you know, they were very complimentary, and as I've been about them, and I wouldn't change that. So time to move on, and that's football, as I say. But no, there wasn't any disappointment for me or anything, because you know, they treated us really well, the club, and all my time there, so I couldn't say a bad word about it, to be honest.
How did Ian take the news? Obviously, he told you he was gone, and then a couple of days later, you'd left as well. How did he take the news of you leaving?
Well, it had been something we kind of agreed on, so I think he appreciated that. You know, it was something we'd all agreed on. That's the way we're going to go, you know. So, and we kind of, you know, we met up. Well, that's before I was gone, but we met up on the Monday, and obviously it was in the paper and that. You know, it was hard. It was hard because he was down, you know. It was his, you know. And we decided then what we were going to try, what we would go and try again, and we kind of did. We went for an interview at Elgin, and we went for an interview at Forfar. We didn't obviously get the Forfar job, which... We thought we'd same again. You're young and naive. You thought you'd walk in another job just like that. The Elgin job was a bit more complicated, but I can't even remember him offering us a job. But we kind of said, listen, because of the way Peterhead had moved on, we were basically saying players were phoning us. We were keeping in touch with the players, and we were basically saying, well, we can just transfer that to here if you want it. And they showed their reluctance, so we went, right, fine. And after that, you know, that was it. You know, me and Ian went and got his job, and I kind of went and got another job, and unfortunately we've never worked together again in football, which, you know, disappointing, but it's still kind of get away for the great time with it at Peterhead, so it's, you know, that's the benefit. Steve Patterson try to sign me again for Peterhead at the end of the Morton, because I don't know if it's true or not, but obviously I ended up playing against Peterhead twice that year, once at Balmoor at New Year and then at Morton. And supposedly in the dugout he was saying, how did that ficker leave us? I think John Farker was in the goal at the time, not against Johnny, but you know, it was one of them games. I'm playing Peterhead, so I'm not letting them score. So I did have two good games. Mm-hmm. And then we had a conversation at the end of that season about going back up, me and Roger, and it just didn't feel, it was still a wee bit... You know, do you go back? Just a couple of things that I wasn't comfortable with. No, in terms of Roger, the club, I just I just thought with the manager, to, you know, you obviously hear things about how your predecessor had been put in place or how he'd been lined up to be put in place, which, whether it was true or not, but, you know, you get some stories back and it looks like it was a done deal a long time before we had them. So I thought, nah, I'll pass on that. And then that was it. And then where did I go after that? I was at St Mirren when we played and spoke to Roger again about possibly coming back as manager. But no, I never seen myself as being a manager in terms of front line as such. I like to be just below and having somebody else, you know, the stuff we spoke about before. So that's the clue, you know. So it's just through the probably the only time I consider it was because it was Peterhead, but I knew at the time, you know, we were fortunate when we got the job for a start through Ian's work, through what we managed to do, timing and everything. It was just one of those things. It was the right time for everything, and you know, it'd be a lot harder now, I'm sure, doing that. So he did ask me up for a recommendation for Jim because we'd obviously worked together at Morton, so that was a no-brainer as well. So you know, I've not got a bad word to say about Peterhead in all my time.
Yeah, it's obviously a sad way to end it, but how would you sum up your time at Peterhead?
Oh, great memories. It was great because we spoke about the things I didn't mention there, was it, you know, we had good games, you know, the big games as such for a club like Peterhead, and to have my family coming up and my mates coming up, and they loved everything about the social club. It just made it feel a wee bit, something I never had in football, because obviously I'm from Afford, so that's where. So majority of the time we're down in Dundee or beyond, and it's sometimes hard, or it's a big ask. But Peterhead wasn't a big ask for people from Afford. So when your mates are coming back and you're having a good result and you're going down to a social club and you're catching up with them, etc., it did feel great. And that's one of my memories, that, you know, touching base with friends when you were growing up and having your family there and being successful. But the biggest thing was enjoyed it all the time. Enjoyed everything about it, even though there was disappointments, big disappointments. But I can only, you know, reiterate, I think it was good time for the club. And I would have loved to have seen Peterhead in the Championship, you know. Will it happen again, or will they have the chance again? You'd like to think so, but it's tough at the moment because there's a lot of emerging clubs and there's a lot of full-time clubs. You know, look at the league this year with Falkirk, Partick. You've got Airdrie just about full time. It's, you know, it's getting harder, I think.
Yeah, and we've seen this year. It's so difficult to get out of that league as well.
Yeah, yep. But it was a great result the other night there. You know, I obviously watch things. My friends, the goalie coach now, Jim Butter, and it's unpredictable. You know, you can never predict what Peterhead are going to do this year. You know, the East Fife game, was it last week, epitomised it, 1-0 up and looked like a good result, and then all of a sudden the man sent off and they get beat 2-1, and you just never seem to put that run together, I don't think. That. But that's maybe down to the competitive nature of the league, etc. But no, it's I've been a backup. We played Peterhead in the Scottish Cup 11 or 12 or 13, was it? And you drew 0-0 at Paisley, Bobby Mann was playing. I think that might have been when Neil Cooper was the manager. Huh? Came back up to Balmoor and we won that night, so it was great to be back up and visit the place again. And also back up to begin this season with St Johnston. That's probably a disappointment. You know, you couldn't see it if there was any old faces left there. I spoke to Roger, but it would have been good to see if other people were still there. Bomber, etc. And Sheila. And I think, is Mary still involved at the social club, or is... Yeah, so it'd been good to catch up with people like that, etc., and see if there was. But it was always a great atmosphere upstairs and downstairs after games, win or lose.
Well, Paul, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on. I thoroughly enjoyed it. On a personal viewpoint, being a wee goalkeeper, if I was a bear, Ivor was one of my heroes, and that Paul, yourself taking over as well, Paul. So thrilled to have you on, and thanks for your honesty as well, because I guess it would be easy for you to kind of shirk the difficult points.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's, well, it was good. It's good to do it and talk about things. And I think that you always reflect on things now. Well, I do anyway, and that's why I hope, you know, that you sometimes think about the, what do you say, the, about the negative things. But that's how I felt about Peterhead. I've got no negatives. I'm supposed to Falk, I've no negatives apart from the ending. But even at Peterhead, there's no negatives. So it's, you know, that's just life. And I think, you know, I've been in football a long time now, so I just try and enjoy it as much as I can, because I've been very fortunate. And one day I may have to probably work for a living, which I'm hoping to avoid that for as long as possible.
Once again, Paul, thanks very much for taking the time to speak to us. I really enjoyed it, so thank you very much.
Okay, no problem. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
A huge thanks to Paul Mathers for taking the time to speak with us and for being so honest about his time at Balmwear. That was the final part of his interview, but next week we'll continue our Blue Toon Legends series with another former Balmwear favourite. Until then, for Martin Smith and myself, Colin Byers, thank you for listening, stay safe, and we'll see you very soon.